Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Next on News One Now, a horrific scene this weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia, where white supremacists held a rally to save a Confederate monument and were met head-on by counter-protesters. But the event turned deadly after a man with neo-Nazi ties plowed his car into a group of those counter-protesters. We will break down all developments about this white American domestic terrorism right here in the United States and examine this over the next hour, all the different angles and perspectives, including President Donald Trump, first of all, being silent for a very long time about this. And when he did speak, he failed to denounce white supremacists and their hate-filled bigotry. We'll talk about this with our panel. Also, Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. will join us, plus the president of the NAACP, Derek Johnson. Folks, also on the show, we will talk with Governor Terry McAuliffe about what took place this weekend and how he has called out white supremacist folks there. And we'll certainly get his thoughts on Donald Trump's statement. All of that next, right here, News One Now on TV One. Let's go. Folks, America was hit by white American domestic terrorism this weekend when armed white supremacists were in Charlottesville, Virginia at a rally over the issue of the moving of a Confederate monument. What we saw this weekend was shameful and despicable, but it was also classic America. Counter-protesters opposed to their messages of hate clashed with the Unite the Right rally, and violence soon broke out. Police declared the rally an unlawful assembly and the groups dispersed. Several hours later, a car intentionally plowed into a crowd of counter-protesters downtown, sending bodies flying and creating a horrific scene. One woman was killed and 19 others were injured, including 5 critically. 20-year-old James Fields of Ohio, who has ties to neo-Nazi groups, has been charged with second-degree murder. He will appear in court today. Also, the FBI has opened a civil rights investigation into the crash. Also, folks, 2 Virginia State Troopers were killed Saturday as they were monitoring the rally from a helicopter that crashed. There was no evidence of foul play, and that is being investigated as well. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, who we will talk with later this morning, declared a state of emergency following the violence and delivered a stark message to the white supremacist.
To the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis who came to our beautiful state yesterday, there is no place for you here in Charlottesville. There is no place for you in Virginia. And there is no place for you in the United States of America.
The rally was supposedly the protest of plant removal of this statue, Confederate General Robert E. Lee. All across the country, there were efforts to remove Confederate monuments. But renowned white supremacist David Duke, who was at that event, spelled out the ultimate agenda, echoing the words of Donald Trump.
This represents a turning point for the people of this country. We are determined to take our country back. We're going to fulfill the promises of Donald Trump. That's what we believed in. That's why we voted for Donald Trump, because he said he's going to take our country back, and that's what we got to do.
Let's go to Charlottesville, where we'll talk with Vice Mayor of the city, Wesley Bellamy, who was in the thick of it all this weekend. Vice Mayor, first of all, it was certainly tragic what took place there. The young woman who was killed will have her name in just a second. But your assessment of what took place to see that many armed people parading in your city.
Thank you for having me. And before I move forward, I'd like to just again express my sincerest condolences to Miss Heather, as well as her family and friends. She's the young lady who lost her life. And thank you for always being a freedom fighter, Miss Heather. Now, to address your question, it was a scene in which I think is one that many individuals can't necessarily fathom, but unfortunately in this era of emboldened white supremacists is becoming far too normal. This didn't just happen in Charlottesville. You also saw during the weekend in Seattle that these neo-Nazis and white supremacists tried to protest and kind of carry out their racist ideology. I want to be clear. This is not just about the statue. This is about a white supremacist group feeling as if they are now empowered and that they can come to our community and try to intimidate us. I'm the only African-American on our city council. They send very clear messages all the time about how they believe that they're going to take back what's theirs and how that I'm a monkey and that we don't belong to be in these positions and so on and so forth. They know exactly what they're doing, and what they're doing is masking their hate behind the removal of the statue. But we need leadership right now from the highest office. So that's why we're expecting number 45 to call out these white supremacists and denounce these groups. But furthermore, I want the entire country to know that the images that you saw on television and on your TV screens do not represent the city of Charlottesville. Because simultaneously, even while the melee was going on, I was with a group of brothers who were handing out over 200 book bags and school supplies to kids in the community. And I think that truly defines Charlottesville. Even in the midst of adversity, we take care of our own.
Not only that, we saw them with tiki torches on the campus of the University of Virginia on Friday night. I got a phone call from Reverend Dr. William Barber, who said there are many protesters who were there, among them Reverend Tracy Blackman. And that was real fear, because this was at nighttime, more than 500 folks who were assembled.
Yeah. Yes, so we were having a service inside of a church literally right across the street from the University of Virginia, a community service, just kind of encourage everybody and prepare everybody for what was going to transpire the next day. And these clowns came with tiki torches from Walmart and decided they thought that they could intimidate us and invoke fear. And for some people, they actually did. That for security and safety concerns, we didn't allow people to leave the church immediately. And then after everyone left, that's when you saw them with their tiki torches go over to the University of Virginia and light them up and try and send out their message. But again, this is just white supremacist tactics, and we're not going to stand for it. I can tell you right now in Charlottesville, our community is stronger because of these clowns. What they thought was going to happen actually had the opposite effect. We are stronger because of this. We are more united because of this, and we will continue to move forward. But I also want people to know the work doesn't stop now. Like what happened on Saturday, we have to continue to push for economic equity within our community, affordable housing, mentoring, helping out our young people, educational equity. Those things have to continue, and that's what I believe we're going to do.
Vice Chair, we certainly appreciate it. Wesley Bellamy, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Let's go via Skype to New York, folks, with Salem Pierce, the rabbinical student on the ground in Charlottesville. Take us inside of what took place. You were there. What did it feel like?
First, thank you for having me. It was terrifying. I think that's important to acknowledge, and I think it was still right that I was there, but there were lots of different actors. There were the neo-Nazis, there were the anti-fascists, there was a private militia. Significantly, I did not see police, but there was yelling and chaos, and I was very frightened.
There were a number of folks who were beaten by those white supremacists. In fact, we will have later one of those gentlemen. It was shameful what actually took place, how he was attacked there. And when you said you didn't see police, what were they doing? I saw one quote from Governor McCullough. I'm going to ask him about that in a minute, where he said that the cops were outgunned.
Well, that may be true, but the only police I saw were the ones who were blocking off streets earlier in the day. And then we got reports that they backed up, they backed away, and were just happy to have everyone, I'm not sure happy, but they let everyone just beat themselves up.
When you look at what took place, and you look at the reaction, your thoughts on how President Trump, in his statement, what he had to say, or really what he didn't say.
Right. Once again, he is a massive failure of a leader. Without specifically denouncing and calling out white supremacy, he's sending a message that to his base. These are the folks, some of the folks who elected him. And it's very clear where he stands by what he, as you say, didn't say.
Salem, we certainly appreciate it. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's go to our panel. First and foremost, we have Eugene Craig with Maryland Republican Party, also with his own company as well, along Victoria Burke, NBC Black writer and analyst, A. Scott Bolden, legal analyst, former chair of the D.C. Democratic Party, and also on the show, Reverend Jennifer Butler, founder and CEO of Faith in Public Life. Folks, we're going to play it for a second how quiet Donald Trump was yesterday. He comes out, gives a nearly a five-minute statement, touts the economy in most of it, and how America is doing better, doesn't say white supremacy, doesn't say neo-Nazi, says many sides, and not only that, yesterday barely said anything, and already this morning he sent out two tweets, no mention at all of what took place in Charlottesville.
Well, he certainly wants to ignore it, but let me say this. I was shocked, without a doubt. I grew up in a home with civil rights activists in Illinois, and what I did yesterday, Roland, was I looked at I Am Not Your Negro, the video, and then I looked at Donald Trump's
first of all,
rallies.
The documentary on James Baldwin.
James Baldwin,
got
absolutely.
It.
Looked at Donald Trump's rallies where African Americans, men and women, were punched and thrown out, and then I looked at the videos for what happened in Charlottesville, and I got to tell you, one, there was no difference whatsoever, and Donald Trump's lack of leadership on this issue, his support or appearance of support to tacitly do a moral equivalent of those who would stand against racism and those who would promote racism and white supremacy creates this moral equivalency that no one believes but him and his supporters.
Yeah, it's a little worse than that, unfortunately. we have a president, we have an American president in the modern era, 153 years after the Civil War, mm-hmm. who cannot clear-throatedly denounce a neo-Nazi killing somebody in public in an American
and
street.
Call it domestic
That's what
terrorism.
We have. That's what we have right now right. Yep. in this country. And right. we cannot escape right. that.
There's
we cannot
reason,
escape
there's
that.
There's a reason
and,
I have. And, hold one second. Yeah. One second. There's a reason I am calling this white American domestic terrorism.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Because we have seen
right.
people in this country condemn Muslims yep. whenever that was attacked, what took yep. place in San Bernardino, what took place in Fort Hood, mm-hmm. and folks are real quick to do that, but they don't want to call these actions. We saw the white man in New York who killed African Americans and get stabbed with a sword. Yep. No one wanted to call that domestic terrorism. We saw what took place at the mosque in Minnesota yep. where Donald Trump has said nothing. No one wanted to call that white American domestic terrorism. There's a reason why you use that language, Eugene.
And we had the murder of Richard Collins. He didn't say anything. Yep. He didn't say anything about the stabbing in Washington. He didn't say anything. This guy came to prominence. We know how he came to prominence on a racist ruse about the president's birthplace. We know that his father was arrested at a Ku Klux Klan rally in 1927. At some point, these civil rights groups have got to get on a war footing. They have got to stop waiting for this president to change. He's not going to change. He is who he is. There's a reason why he will not articulate anything against these groups, and the reason is clear. So we need to stop pretending that there's something else going on here. He's another person. He's not another person.
I agree 100% with you. When this president wants to make a point about something, he emphasizes it.
Yes,
exactly. When he wants to build that wall, he yells it.
Right.
When he wants to bomb the S out of people,
right.
he yells it. When you have situations in Europe, we literally had same situation in Paris where somebody drove a car through a crowd. He had no problem calling it terrorism.
Right.
You know, yesterday on Saturday when it got report that we lost an American life on American soil by domestic terrorists, the president of the United States should have stood up as a moral leader and actually called it out as domestic terrorism.
We can tell this because we know exactly what white supremacist leaders said right after Trump made his comments. They said he condoned what we did. He's
yeah.
actually attacking the left for this instead of naming it what it is. It is white supremacy on the rise, and we need to put a stop to
and
it right now.
And he's not running out to denounce
and,
it.
And this is why today hundreds of religious leaders are releasing a letter calling on Trump to clean up his cabinet, calling on Republican leaders
right.
to fire Steve. We have a white supremacist
Bannon
cabinet.
The White House. One second, I want to go right down to the phone lines. Reverend Jesse Jackson, Sr., founder of Rainbow Push. Reverend Jackson, very few white evangelicals who are conservative have called out white supremacy. They've been quiet. They've been silent. Your thoughts?
You know, what's right? Good morning, panel. What strikes me that we're missing in our conversation, not whether he tweets, but the policy of the administration. They put the EEOC and contract compliance in the same department so as to heal both of them. A step beyond that, Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions, has shifted the budget for pursuing violent white nationalists to pursuing anti-affirmative action. The policies of the administration, While we're almost diverted by what he is going to say and not going to say, what he is doing is what's most damaging. His anti-affirmative action rhetoric, his calling the Voter Act an intrusion, that act. What we can do in Virginia, for example, is a big election in November. We've got Rainbow Push, hashtag 100,000. We're trying to put 100,000 new voters on the books in Virginia. We can fight back in the big in that state on November of this year.
Reverend, I got about 20 seconds before I got to go to the break and do my time during a simulcast. Again, a silent president showing no moral leadership whatsoever.
Silence is betrayal and it's cowardly. He's afraid to call out the neo-Nazis and the KKK and Putin because he has a kinship with them or he's afraid of them.
Reverend Jackson, we appreciate you joining us. Thank you so very much for being on TV One. Folks, coming up next, we continue our analysis of white American domestic terrorism in Charlottesville, Virginia, by talking with the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, next on our simulcast with the Tom Jordan Morning Show. It is 15 after the hour, back on News 19 TV 1.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, Tom, Sybil, and Arsenio, how we doing?
We're good.
Excellent, sir. Congrats on your post piece, dog.
Appreciate that. Also, shout out real quick to our folks at News One Now. We were honored this weekend by NABJ. Salute to excellence for our work with on a piece on black women and breast cancer. And so it took place this weekend in New Orleans. So I was supposed to be, Tom, at Sith Entertainers golf tournament this weekend, but canceled that after the white supremacy march in Virginia. And so here in D.C., what we are experiencing is clear white domestic terrorism in this country, even though our president does not want to call it out. Shortly, we're going to be joined by the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, who declared a state of emergency this weekend as a result of what took place. It is very interesting, Tom, when you look at who is actually speaking out and who isn't. You have some Republicans who have broken with the president, who have been calling out specifically white supremacy, calling out these neo-Nazis, but the loudest voices who have been very silent are white conservative evangelicals. You would think folks with prophetic voices would be saying something, but it's amazing how most of them are very quiet about what took place. We also, Tom, are calling this exactly what it is, white America domestic terrorism, because we're real quick to condemn Muslims in this country and demand all Muslims apologize when something happens in this country. But when this happens, folks say, well, those are simply isolated incidents. We do know, of course, having Heather Hare, the young woman who was killed by the white supremacists driving right into the crowd, folks, there. And so it was a shocking development over the weekend. And the person who was the center of it was Governor Terry McAuliffe of Virginia. Governor, good morning.
Good to be with you again, buddy.
It was certainly hard for you, what you experienced this weekend. I read one piece where you said that, in many ways, the police there were outgunned by these white supremacists. We've seen other examples in other, of course, Ferguson and other places where cops in riot gear and with military-type weaponry, what took place this weekend where things got so out of control?
Well, first of all, I want to thank the police here. Here we sit here today, and we had a lot of folks, about 1,000 came into our beautiful state. Many of them came armed. We knew they were coming armed. We'd been tipped off. We watched the social media. We had intelligence. So we knew that they were coming. And, Tom, you saw people. They were wearing better body armor than my state police had. They had semi-automatic rifles. So we were very concerned. This was a very, very volatile situation. Unfortunately, the city had asked for the permit to move it away from the city into a large field and park where people could all go. Unfortunately, that was denied. So I had in our beautiful city about 1,000 people, many of them armed. Now, at the end of the day, I'm proud the police did the right thing. They went in shortly after 11 o'clock and cleared the park out. The rally wasn't even supposed to start until noon and put the car incident aside. Not one single person went to the hospital, not 1 ounce of property damage, and most importantly, not one shot fired at all. We unfortunately had a car terrorist, which, as you know, very impossible to protect against. Who would think some murder nut person would go out there and take weaponize a car and run into a crowd? But outside of that, Tom, As I say, zero property damage, no shots fired, and nobody going to the hospital except for the 19 who were hit by this guy with the car. I unfortunately lost two state troopers and a helicopter. It was very sad for me, Tom. They were very close to me personally. One had been my pilot for 3.5 years, and the other was part of my protection detail who lived with me 24/7. But we brought a bunch of people, hate-filled, mean-spirited, bigotry, hatred, white supremacists, neo-Nazis. I told them day one, get out of my state, and I would tell you, get out of America. You don't belong here.
Mayor, we also, of course, saw the reaction. Your words were very tough, very clear, and very concise. Yet when the president came out and spoke, he talked about, he condemned the actions, but also talked about many sides, if you will. It was as if he was refusing or reluctant to specifically criticize white supremacists and neo-Nazis. He said nothing about it. In fact, he sends his people out the next day to national television. They had to be pushed hard to even condemn white supremacists. We now know that that statement he wrote was written by, helped written by Steve Bannon and Stephen Miller, two individuals that many have called, frankly, white nationalists as well, members of the alt-right. What does it say when the president of the United States does not have the moral courage to call out white supremacy and neo-Nazis? He's already tweeted twice this morning. He has said nothing. It's as if he wants to ignore what took place.
Well, let me tell you this. Nobody in America can ignore what happened in Charlottesville. Tom, I have never, and I've been doing this 40 years, I have never in my life heard such vile language aimed at the African-American community, aimed at the Jewish community. I have never in my life seen individuals. And what I said yesterday, you know, I went to two churches yesterday, the Mount Zion and the First Baptist. I went to a reconciliation rally in Richmond. I am calling on every elected official, from the White House to the State House to the mayor's office, to come out very clearly, unequivocally, condemn these white supremacists, condemn these neo-Nazis, and tell them to get the hell out of our country. You know, what really offends me, Tom, is these people parading around there with their flags and their swastikas. You know, my father was in World War II. You know, these folks in World War II fought that swastika. And to think these people can walk through our streets today and pretend they're not patriots. They're anything but patriots. They're dividing our nation, and there's no place for them today. You want to talk about patriots? How about the men and women in uniform today protecting our liberties? I got a son in the Marine. I'm trying to thought about writing him a note on Saturday night. He's overseas deployed. What do I say to him? He's over there fighting for us. He's not fighting for these people that were walking through Charlottesville. He's not. These people are destroying our country. Everybody has an equal opportunity to be successful. I don't even know what white supremacy, what does that even mean? You know, those first ships, Tom, came over to Jamestown, Virginia in 1607, okay? Unless you're Native American, you know, you were an immigrant to this country. We all are, and we should never forget it. That mosaic tile of immigrants is what makes the diversity, makes our country strong.
Governor,
these
we also
made us stronger.
We also saw the video of DeAndre Harris, a 20-year-old black man who was a protester who was being viciously beaten as well.
Yes.
He had to get a number of scars. It was stunning to actually watch this video.
I mean, the police stood watching.
And I mean, literally, it was stunning to watch.
Well, listen, we responded. There were 250 skirmishes going on throughout the entire city of Charlottesville. So, I mean, the Charlottesville police were in charge. We were support there. These events were going on all over the city. So, of course, you're going to get a camera catching certain instances. But let me tell you something. There are 250 incident calls even before the park. So, listen, they were out. They were protected. But the one thing we had to be careful of, with 1,000 people in this park, many of them with weapons, the one thing we had to be careful is to show restraint to the sense that one person fired one shot. Let me tell you, Tom, you and I would be having a conversation today with dozens of body bags today sitting in a morgue. Let me tell you that.
Governor, what do you say to the people who say it was great that you were in the black churches yesterday, but what about the white churches where these people are members that invaded your state and with such hatred and such venom? What about the other side of this and going and bringing these two groups together?
Well, those are the speeches I gave all day yesterday, and I gave it Saturday. I was very strong. I was very firm. I condemned all this immediately. I do this every single day. And today I'm bringing all my folks together here. I want Virginia to lead in reconciliation. Listen, these people left town, but I'm under no illusions. I mean, we've had a horrible history here in Virginia on the issues of racism. I mean, I understand that. We all have it. And it is just because these guys with swastikas and Confederate flags left yesterday, I still have to deal with this issue. We all do in American society. We have a lot of work. There's racism and bigotry in every state in America. So, you know, I'm under no illusion. So you bet. And we're going to convene today. And the one thing that bothered me really greatly about all these folks, I mean, look at the work we've done in Virginia. You know, I'm sitting here very proud as the governor who's restored more felon rights than any governor in the history of America. I've got a huge initiative of classrooms and not courtrooms. I've reduced the juvenile detention population by half. I now have the lowest recidivism rate in America because I've invested in folks, checking chances. We've made great progress here, and these people came into our state and really set us back. And I'm, you know, I'm not angry. I was angry on Saturday. I'm angry about my state troopers. I'm angry about Heather Heyer. But today, let's use this evil that they did to inspire us to do good.
Governor, we're questioning. Governor, will you attend the funeral of Heather Heyer? That's the first question. Go ahead and answer that.
Oh, I'm going to attend Heather's funeral and Jay's funeral and Burke's funeral. You bet.
Second of all, should President Donald Trump come to Charlottesville, Virginia, and give a speech on white supremacy and bigotry and racism on the campus of the University of Virginia?
Well, where he does it, I don't think it's important. I really don't.
But should
I
mean, he do it?
As you know, we had issues in Seattle, Washington last night. They're going on all over the country. Should he give a speech, Tom? Yes, he should.
Governor Terry McAuliffe of Virginia, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Great job, Roland Martin.
Thank you.
Wow.
2017, Tom.
28 past the hour.
Well, it's coming up next on News One Now. We'll delve deeper into Donald Trump's response to what took place in Charlottesville and how he is ignoring his own aides to call for him to do more to speak out against white supremacy. And also, Republicans are firing back at him as well. We'll be joined also in the second half of the show by Derek Johnson of the NAACP, their interim president and CEO. We continue our coverage of white America domestic terrorism in Charlottesville, Virginia, right here at News One Now on TV One.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now.
Republicans have been very clear that Donald Trump's response to what took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, simply was not enough. He is being blasted left and right. But check this out, folks. So he gives this statement on Saturday. Let me know when y'all have the video, okay, because I want to actually play that if we have the video. But he gives this statement where he talks about many sides, okay? So it looks like we have what? We have the written statement. So play the video, please. I want y'all to hear this. And then I'm going to read for you the second statement the White House released after they got criticized.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides. It's been going on for a long time in our country. Above all else, we must remember this truth. No matter our color, creed, religion, or political party, we are all Americans first.
Then, of course, he went on in that very statement to talk about the economy and how things are going. And he walked out thanking veterans for their service. But he wouldn't condemn white supremacy and fighting Nazis, which was the very thing veterans were fighting for against World War II. How hilarious is that to see that particular image? But then this happened, of course. The White House later released a statement. And y'all, this is very interesting. So check this out. Shelley, go to my iPad. The president said very strongly in his statement yesterday that he condemns all forms of violence, bigotry, and hatred, And of course, that includes white supremacists, KKK, neo-Nazi, and all extremist groups. He called for national unity and bringing all Americans together. Except here's the problem with that statement. No White House spokesperson would put their name on the statement. They also would not attribute this statement directly to President Trump. Republicans clearly realize this is a problem. Many of them have spoken out. Go to the tweet, Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado. Mr. President, we must call evil by its name. These were white supremacists, and this was domestic terrorism. Senator Ted Cruz, I urge the Department of Justice to immediately investigate and prosecute this grotesque act of domestic terrorism. Well, before Trump even spoke, his wife, Melania Trump, actually released a tweet on Saturday. Our country encourages freedom of speech, but let's communicate without a hate in our hearts. No good comes from violence. And then, of course, his daughter, you know, she got something to say. Ivanka Trump, there should be no place in society for racism, white supremacy, and neo-Nazis. You had, of course, Senator Orrin Hatch. You had Senator Marco Rubio and others releasing their statements. But again, the president is very silent. Jennifer, when you see this, when you see how weak and impotent this man is, you see Republicans who realize this is a watershed moment for this party.
Republicans absolutely have to come out, and they have to say even more. I'm really grateful that Marco Rubio and others actually came out and condemned white supremacy yesterday, but they have to distance themselves from this president even more. White supremacy is a moral abomination, and so they have to actually condemn the fact that he has a white supremacist cabinet. They have to continue to condemn racist policies. They have to restore the Voting Rights Act. They have to address criminal justice reform. So we need them to keep walking down that road and to go a step further. I want to say also that this is a wake-up call to America's pastors, particularly to the white pastors. We have to be loud in our communities, challenging racism, and we have to be educating our flocks. If neo-Nazis are able to reach into our flocks and draw these young men into this sort of cult of neo-Nazism, then we have failed America. Mm-hmm. So white clergy, it's on us. We need to, if we are not woke, we need to wake up and do more.
Lauren, what is interesting about this, again, to have a White House spokesperson not put their name on the statement and then specifically say this can't be attributed to the president clearly says to me he did not want to say this. He didn't want to be near it. And what he is doing, forget the many sides crap, he has chosen to be on the side of white supremacists and neo-Nazis because that's who has been supporting him since he ran for office.
We knew that last year. We knew that last year when there was a student from the University of Louisville who's pushed around at one of his campaign rallies, mm-hmm. and he said absolutely nothing by a white supremacist. We knew that last year early in February when Jake Tapper interviewed him, mm-hmm. and he would not, and he tried to act like he didn't know who David Duke was. He didn't try to act like he didn't know who the Ku Klux Klan was. I mean, it's absurd. Mm-hmm. We have a president of the United States who at best is a white supremacist sympathizer, at best. At best. I mean, we have to come to terms with what this reality is. And I think people need to stop acting as if that's not what's going on right now. I mean, given his history, given the history of his company, they were sued by the Justice Department for racism. I mean, this is years and years ago. This is the guy that took out an ad in the New York Times, five black men who are innocent. Right. I mean, he has a certain history. And that history is shown in the policy, the Muslim ban, build a wall, the affirmative action for white people. We just saw that. There's nothing to talk about anymore. I'm not sure why everybody is still in shock mode because this has basically been going on for a while. We knew who Donald Trump was. We saw it at the rallies. We saw the violence. And everybody sort of sat there stunned, but we got to get out of stunned mode. This is the reality of it. Oh, by the way, I'm not impressed by five Republicans out of 240 in the House and 54 in the Senate. Five Republicans, very good statements by Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio. We know that. But Where's everybody else?
That's right.
And there's a problem with that. We're talking about Nazis in the streets of America. We're not talking about
2017. Yeah. I mean,
right.
And this is not a partisan issue. You know, this is something Republicans and Democrats both.
Issue.
It's a moral issue.
It's a moral.
I want to play. Shelley, go to my iPad before I go to Eugene. The Charlottesville, Virginia NBC affiliate, NBC 29, yesterday, well, that was a news conference. Jason Kessler, who organized this rally, held a news conference, got shouted down. They would yell, shame, shame. And Ben, you had this take place as they were, go to the police. Actually, we missed it, so please, let's go back, guys. So you can see, he gets punched in the face by one of the protesters, and the guy who punched him said he absolutely deserved it. And you see what took place here. He got a very, very loud reaction yesterday, Eugene, from the folks there in Charlottesville.
Let me tell you something. Because of the work of Kessler, because of the work of David Duke and you know, these white nationalists and white supremacists, a young lady died. A young lady died at the hands of domestic terrorism.
Right.
So in my eyes, Kessler should have caught a fade and should have caught many other fades directly after that. I mean, this should be national issue of fade to a white supremacist
and
week, if you ask me.
And this guy's in a photo with a member of Congress from Virginia,
you know,
Tom Garrett, by the way, which is another dangerous aspect of this.
Another dangerous aspect. But to go back to the issue of 45, you know, in the words of Stephen Hayes, this isn't a president that's reluctant to address the issue. This is a president that's refusing to address
exactly.
this issue.
Exactly.
You know, and that's where we're at. I mean,
won't even retweet his daughter.
Won't even
retweet
his daughter.
Ivanka?
You know, Martin Luther King said, you know, when it comes down to injustice, you're neutral, you're taking the side of injustice.
That's right.
And this White House is being silent. They're taking the side of injustice.
Real quick, 20 seconds.
But Donald Trump is the titular head of the Republican Party. You are a Republican. Where are the African-American Republicans making public statements? Hold on. And how do you continue to be part of a Republican Party and titular in support of the titular head, who by all accounts is a white supremacist sympathizer? How do you do that?
I was a Republican.
Leave your party.
One second.
To address both of your questions. First, I was a Republican before Donald Trump was a Republican. I'll be a Republican after Donald Trump's a Republican. To address the second question, Black Republicans have been issuing statements. In particular, D.J. Jordan, who's actually locally there on the ground, Prince William County, vice chair of the party there, released a very, very strong statement rebuking both the white supremacists and also calling out other Republicans.
Here's the deal. I got to go to a break, but here's what I think, what Scott is saying, which I've been saying for the longest. When will Black Republicans stand up as a collective,
exactly.
and say, we condemn this? I've said about voter suppression. I've said about other issues. That's the real issue, not individual statements, not individuals, but as a collective, a public show of Black Republican unity calling out this president. That, to me, would send a powerful message. Coming up next, we'll talk with the interim CEO of the NAACP about what took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, and also a few moments ago, Attorney General Jeff Sessions was on Good Morning America. I'm going to have some sound from him as well, talking about that case in terms of the investigation taken by DOJ about what took place there in Virginia. We'll be back. News 1 Now on TV 1 in just a moment.
This is not a proud day for Charlottesville. It's not a proud day for Virginia to see two opposing groups who have sides, that they have a freedom of speech, but to turn to violence is not the way.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, folks, a few moments ago, Attorney General Jeff Sessions was on Good Morning America, and he actually discussed whether or not what took place on Saturday is domestic terrorism. Shelley, go.
It doesn't meet the definition of domestic terrorism in our statute. We are pursuing it in the Department of Justice in every way that we can make a case. You can be sure we will charge and advance the investigation toward the most serious charges that can be brought, because this is an unequivocally unacceptable and evil attack that cannot be accepted in America. So absolutely, that is a factor that we'll be looking at.
You have
All right, folks, that's Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The NAACP, of course, is also rallying their members around this very issue. We're joined right now by the interim president and CEO, Derek Johnson, out of Mississippi. Derek, what is next for the NAACP?
Well, we see this as domestic terrorism. There is no clear definition of it. Anytime you have a racial hate group who are rallying in the city because of Confederate a monument, which is a racial monument, and you have an individual who drives his car into a crowd. That's no different than what took place in London earlier this year. It's terrorism by definition, and we need, as a country, to pursue and see this as such.
And when you look at this muted reaction, again, from a lot of Republicans, a lot of white conservative evangelicals, when you look at this president, who basically said pretty much nothing after his statement on Saturday. He, in essence, and not only that, the white supremacists on their websites touting that he did not condemn them. The white supremacists were happy with what Trump had to say.
Well, anytime we have a nation and the chief executive of this nation decides to condone such acts, we're talking about of America of the past, America of a Mississippi past, and we should not stand for that. Elections have consequences, but no one should expect that the consequence of this election will be one in which we'll have a 1950 Southern America. That's unfortunate, and it's something that, as African Americans, we need to be focused on as we lead into this next election cycle.
Jennifer.
This is domestic terrorism, and to not call it that is racist in and of itself. You know, we are quick to call other things terrorism, and we need to name this and call this what it is. Clergy were there in force, and as was said earlier, hundreds of them were worshiping when these neo-Nazis were carrying torches and threatening them. They had to leave by a back door. So this is something that white evangelicals need to be tackling. We will be tackling it going forward. As I said, we have hundreds of clergy who are now calling on members of Congress to all come out and oppose this, but to go a step further as well and call out Steve Bannon in the White House, say that he has to be fired, to also tackle the policies that are promoting racism. And we will be organizing because we know this isn't the end. We know that there are more rallies like this planned, and so we are training our people for nonviolent resistance.
Derek, final comment to you. We did reach out to the Trump administration. I personally sent emails to all their top people, Kellyanne Conway, Hope Hicks, and the others, saying, will you make someone from the administration available for this show? No response. Well, they responded, but nothing happened. That's no surprise here. Have you heard from anyone from the Trump administration?
Absolutely. You know,
absolutely yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Got it.
The letter from Birmingham, it speaks to this. You know, the silence is deafening. It speaks volumes. Anytime you have this type of act, you know, we expect our leaders to speak up, to set a new tone. And what I'm afraid of, we're looking at a new norm.
Got it.
We don't have someone in the Justice Department to take extreme actions to say this will not be tolerated in Charlottesville, Virginia, as it shall not be tolerated anywhere across this land.
Derek Johnson, NAACP, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Back on News One Now in 60 seconds.
He missed an opportunity to be very explicit here. These groups seem to believe they have a friend in Donald Trump in the White House.
Your centerpiece for black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
My message for Donald Trump. When national tragedies have hit the United States, we've always looked to the president to offer words of consolation and healing to salve the collective wounds of our pain. No political party, ideology, race, ethnicity, gender, or religion has kept us from mourning as one nation, even for a small period of time. We have witnessed this time and time again, whether it was President Ronald Reagan after the loss of seven astronauts after the 1986 Space Shuttle Challenger explosion, President George W. Bush's rallying cry standing on the top of the ruins of the World Trade Center in 2001, or President Barack Obama's sermon-like speech after the 2011 shooting of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords of Arizona. Yet when shock, pain, and tragedy befell America on the afternoon of Saturday in Charlottesville, Virginia, the President of the United States was missing in action, sheltered at his golf course in New Jersey, oblivious to the pain and agony we all witnessed on television screens across the country. After an anti-white supremacist protester was killed, when an avowed white racist slammed into a crowd of people and two cops died in a helicopter crash flying over the protest, it wasn't Donald Trump tweeting a denouncement of the racist attacks. It was his wife, Melania Trump. When similar tragedies committed by Muslims hit Paris and London, Trump's itchy fingers were quick to invoke Islamic terrorism on Twitter. Yet when white domestic terrorists inflicted pain 115 miles from the White House, he was as silent as a sinner in church. Trump had an opportunity to redeem himself when he finally went before the television cameras to issue a statement condemning the actions of the white supremacists. Yet in a nearly 5-minute statement, he further embarrassed himself, his administration, and the nation with one of the most soulless, gutless, shameful, and despicable statements ever uttered by an American president after a tragedy. Trump couldn't bring himself to call out the white supremacists. He literally didn't use the words. Then his obsession with President Barack Obama took over by invoking him in his comments as a way of absolving his own fermenting of bigotry and hatred by playing footsie with the white supremacist crowd the last 6 years. Instead, he condemned protesters on many sides, which left white supremacist sites shouting with joy that he didn't single them out. This is no shock considering his courting of the white supremacist vote throughout the election and further cemented by allowing Stephen Bannon, Stephen Miller, Sebastian Gorka, Sam Clovis, and a host of other race baiters to set policy in his administration. We expect our presidents to be moral leaders, but Trump has shown he is an immoral leader. He is childish. His shameful antics on Twitter have done nothing to show that he understands the power he wields and is more concerned with feeding his massive ego. At no times has he ever delivered a speech to the nation that we can all applaud. His dark and dangerous inauguration speech revealed exactly who he is, and so did his actions on Saturday. Every time Trump does something outlandish, I use a hashtag, we tried to tell you. Over and over, he has proven that he is grossly unqualified to be our president, and the people who voted for him should be ashamed they made this possible. They too are culpable, including any African American who voted for him. And they must own this tragedy in America. Blood is on Trump's hands. He courted the bigoted vote. He pushed the racial resentment buttons from his racist birtherism against President Obama, and since the inauguration, through his racially charged policies. They now openly and willingly attack other Americans. Folks, there is no hope or redemption for Donald Trump ever acting like a president of the United States. His presidency, no matter what happens from this point forward, is a total disaster. When a man can't even bring himself to calling out white supremacists, there's no hope he will ever get it. Any normal president will be telling his staff to prepare to travel to Charlottesville to deliver a speech denouncing hate, racism, and white supremacy on the campus of the University of Virginia, where angry white racists the night before Saturday's terrorist attack marched across campus with tiki torches and ode to the KKK forefathers. But his past actions prove he will do nothing of the sort. I simply don't think he possesses the moral clarity to do it. He'll just stay in his bubble, protected by purveyors of hate like Bannon and Miller, watching Fox News and tweeting nonsense. If a man supposedly represents all of us doesn't have the guts to forcefully call out white supremacy, then he isn't deserving of our respect. That is pure cowardice. And no matter how his staff tries to clean it up, Trump's initial statement will forever be etched in our minds. He's done. His presidency is done. And I'm done ever expecting him to respect the office of the president. This is simply hashtag by Donald. I'll be back in a moment.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin. Every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
All right, folks, final comments on today's show. It will start with Scott Bolden.
Well, as I was telling you earlier, what I saw in Charlottesville is as ugly as it gets. But what Donald Trump as a sympathizer has done, has allowed these fringe groups to take their sheets off and to walk into the streets and have an expectation to be heard. He's hired Banyan and others in the White House. That gives them hope that these neo-Nazis, these white nationalists, are actually in the White House. And then his denial, or denying not condemning them directly and specifically, lends itself to that as well.
Eugene?
You know, there is no place for racism and white supremacy and white nationalism in our country. And all of our elected leaders from the top down, from the White House, from the Oval Office, need to step up and condemn it and put real power and pressure behind it. For Jeff Sessions to come and say that this was not an act of domestic terrorism is completely wrong. It's completely BS. And I think, you know, if we're going to impeach anybody, it needs to start with Jeff Sessions.
Jennifer?
And it meets the definition,
yes,
too.
Yes,
Trump,
it does.
Trump has normalized white supremacy. And so clergy have to be out there preaching and teaching, and we will be. We were on the front lines in Charlotte, and we need to do more. And our elected leaders, every single one, absolutely has to be on record about this and start addressing the cabinet problems and policy.
Lauren?
The leader of our country, the 45th president of the United States, can't say the words racism, can't say the words all right, can't say anti-Semitism. We have to come to grips with the reality that these groups have to, like I said, they have to be on a war footing.
Right.
This is not, we're not in the analysis mode anymore. We know what we've got, and there's got to be some really hard thinking about what happens next.
Now, of course, tomorrow on the show, we will have the latest developments as it relates to what took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, as we will continue to give you our unique coverage on white America domestic terrorism that took place in this country. We'll also deal with specifically even more tomorrow on white evangelicals being absolutely quiet in allowing what took place. And so you might want to stay tuned for that. Also, join me on MSNBC today at 9 a.m. Also at 3 p.m., you can expect me to bring the funk. See you tomorrow. Holla.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.